Breast Cancer Awareness Month is October, and that means, among other things, you'll see a lot of pink. The question is all that pink branding that is part of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure, is it working to raise awareness and get money for breast cancer? That's a question that's being raised by Dr. Samantha King. She's author of Pink Ribbons, Inc., Breast Cancer and the Politics of Philanthropy. She joins us where she's director of Queen's University School of Kinesiology and Health Studies. Hello, Dr. King.
Hello.
It's good to talk to you. Now tell me.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. How much money is being raised, and where is the money going for this Pink Ribbon campaign?
Well, it's actually quite hard to answer that question. That's one of the problems with people like myself who are concerned about the transparency. I mean, certainly a lot of money has been raised, especially by organizations such as Komen over the years. But where that money goes, and more importantly, what comes out of it, is quite hard to track. So we've had a lot of awareness, as you said, a lot of money has been raised, but incidence rates and mortality rates remain more or less the same as they did when the pink ribbon industry really took off in the early 1990s.
That's a surprise. Is that because of the difficulty that arises when you're trying to deal and treat breast cancer?
Well, it's certainly not an easy thing to figure out, but really the problem, I think, is that the money continues to fund the same kinds of research questions that are really focused on cure and not so much on prevention. And if we're really going to see a radical change in breast cancer incidence, we have to figure out what causes it, what makes it spread, and how to stop it. And those questions have really been neglected in our research agendas.
Why do you think they've been neglected? Because of the effort at marketing and putting the idea of pink ribbons to the public?
Certainly, I think that the idea of the cure and finding the cure has a lot of currency in U.S. culture. It's maybe not as easy to talk about things like environmental contaminants and how we structure our society. And certainly the corporations that are involved in the campaign often are corporations that have more of an interest in cure than in prevention, and that's one of the problems really when you bring business into the problem of public health. It doesn't always have the best outcomes.
How did the pink ribbon come to represent breast cancer, Dr. King?
It's a very interesting story. The first breast cancer ribbon was actually peach-colored or salmon-colored, and it was designed by a woman named Charlotte Haley, who was concerned about the lack of federal funding going to research on prevention. And around the same time, Self magazine and Estee Lauder had decided to do their first Breast Cancer Awareness Month campaign. This was in the early 1990s. So they actually approached Charlotte Haley and asked her if they could use her ribbon. And she said no, because she was worried that the disease would become commercialized, ironically enough, now looking back. So they went to consumers, they did some market research, and they asked people what colors were they associated with comfort and femininity and all those things that a breast cancer diagnosis is not, and the color that they chose was pink.
We have many companies that partner with Komen for the Cure. What happens once the companies ink an agreement? What happens with the money, and what happens with the campaign?
Well, when companies sign an agreement with an organization like Komen, basically what they're doing is paying Komen to use the Komen name on the product that they will then sell. And usually some kind of money is exchanged for that. And then the products are sold to the public with the promise that a percentage of the sale price will go to the cause, will go to the Komen Foundation. Of course, what we often don't realize as consumers is that our purchase doesn't actually make a difference, because the money has already exchanged hands up front. In most cases, there are a couple of exceptions to that, but in most cases, that's how it works.
So by buying these products, we're not necessarily raising additional dollars?
Exactly.
How do you feel about Komen for the Cure partnering with a company like Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Well, my sense was that that was one of the more problematic campaigns that Komen is engaged in. And at the very time that they signed the agreement with KFC, the state of California had a lawsuit against the company regarding carcinogenic ingredients in some of their chicken products. So it just didn't seem to me to sync very well with Komen's message of health and health care and wellness for women to be partnering with a fast food company of that nature.
We focus on breast cancer, but what's the risk for women of breast cancer versus other types of cancers or other diseases?
Well, women are much more likely to die of heart disease or lung disease or stroke in the United States than breast cancer. So it certainly kills a lot of women, and I wouldn't want to downplay that. But certainly people raise questions about why it is, given its relative mortality rate. So much attention has been paid to breast cancer, and I think that's really because of the currency that breasts have in our culture, but also because of the way that corporations and large foundations have shaped how we think about it. 30 years ago, it would have been unimaginable that corporations would be competing with one another to attach their name to breast cancer. It was so stigmatized. But that's really changed. And unfortunately, we still associate diseases like heart disease and lung cancer with poor lifestyle choices. And we don't do that with breast cancer.
Dr. Samantha King, she is author of Pink Ribbons, Inc., Breast Cancer and the Politics of Philanthropy. Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.
Later on the show, after 1 o'clock, we're going to hear from folks at Komen for the Cure on their campaign. This is The Record.